Thank you, Craig. Go ahead and open your Bibles up this morning. The 12th chapter of John. It says, "Now there were some Greeks among them who were going up to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip came, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. For this purpose, I came to this hour." You know, I think about, as I said, next week being Easter. Easter is, to me, is the most significant day of the year, because if there were no Easter, every other Sunday matters not. We're wasting our time if it were not for Easter. But serve a risen Savior, it makes a difference every day of our lives. You know, and today we talk about, as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, a week before he was hailed as a king, but he knew what was coming. He knew what lay ahead. He knew what it would cost. You know, cost is something we all consider and we think a lot of. That's one of the most asked questions in my house is, well, how much does it cost? You know, you've heard that question too. I'm interested in things like that. Now, I looked up a statistic this week. Some of you will identify with this. According to statistics from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the average cost of raising a child from birth to age 18 for a middle-income family is approximately $245,340. Adjusted for inflation, the cost becomes $304,480. So, you know, if you're Lance here, Lance and AJ, raising these three boys, you can expect to spend nearly $1 million before you're done, from zero to 18. You know, three kids. But you know what? People do it anyway. And they will say this, it was worth every penny. I think every parent would express those statements when it comes. If you told them, hey, it's going to cost you $300,000 to raise your kid to 18 years old, they'd look at you and say, let's go. It's worth it. It's worth every penny. Because the value of children far and away surpasses the cost involved with them. And the reason for that is simply this, because genuine love cannot be stopped by a price tag. There is no price tag on genuine love. Aren't you glad this morning that when your parents looked at you, they didn't go, that cost too much? Even more, aren't you glad that God looked at you this morning and said, we'll pay the price? Yeah, you cost too much. The Bible says we're all sinners and the price had to be paid, but God didn't look at it and say, let's start over, let's get rid of this. Jesus will pay the price. John 3:16 reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was the love, it was the motivation. And yet Jesus came with a purpose, and we see that purpose here in John 12. It was for this reason, for this hour that I've come. Despite the trouble, his soul was troubled, but he was willing to pay the price. What an incredible cost for love, and a price that Jesus willingly submitted to pay. Max Lucado, in his book, And the Angels Were Silent, describes a scene well. He says the final encounter of the battle had begun. As Jesus looks at the city of Jerusalem, he sees what the disciples meant. He sees the evil one preparing for the final encounter. Hell is literally breaking loose all around him. History records it as the battle of the Jews versus Jesus. But that wasn't the case. It was a battle of God versus Satan. It was a battle of good versus evil. He knew that before the war even began that he would be taken captive. He knew that before victory would come defeat. He knew that before the throne in heaven, there was a cup of suffering. He knew that before the light of Easter would come the darkness of Friday. And he is afraid. You ever thought about that? Jesus being afraid? He was fully God, but he was also fully human. It's like soldiers moving into a war. You know, I've never been a soldier, but you know when you're fixing to go and fight and you literally could die just as easily as live, that there's got to be some trepidation as you march into that battle. Jesus was marching into a battle. He knew that he would die. And I believe the human part of him was a little bit afraid. No one feels good at such a time. John 19:30 is a key verse. The words tell us the plan was now in place. As he hung on the cross, he gave these words, "It is finished." Jesus had done what he came for. The purpose was met. He had provided the sacrifice for the sin of mankind. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, a lot of people have proclaimed through the years that the Bible is a bloody book. And they're right. Someone made the statement, cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, blood is a major part of the picture. In Genesis 3, we see when mankind fell into sin, God made the first sacrifice when he took the skins of animals to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness due to their sin. And then also we're told in the New Testament that God made another sacrifice, the sacrifice of his own son to cover the nakedness of yours and my sin, the last sacrifice that's necessary. God made the first sacrifice. God made the last sacrifice. You know, we sing the song, "Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." So the Bible, whoever made that statement is right. From Genesis to Revelation, cut the Bible and it will bleed, because it's through that blood that salvation is provided. And the Bible is a book of good news, the hope of mankind. The salvation through Jesus Christ is our one, our only hope. The Bible clearly teaches without the blood of Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it also teaches that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ephesians, and in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You know, in the garden, the Bible says Jesus sweat drops of blood. The men of Pilate beat Jesus with whips tied with bone and metal fragments and ripped his back to where his back bled. At Calvary, they drove nails in his hands and his feet, and he bled. Even at the soldiers jabbed a spear in his side and out gushed blood and water, signifying his death. But from his shed blood came life. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What a price to pay. The king becomes the suffering servant. This morning we come together and we're called to remember the sacrifice. We're called to remember the price. We're called to remember what it cost. Because you see, when Christ comes in judgment, his blood is the only thing that will stand between you and hell. The only thing. And it's interesting that Jesus died on the Passover. The Passover, because I think God intended that imagery to signify the kind of death and what Christ had come to do. What was the imagery? Listen to Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. On that same night, God says, "I will pass through Egypt, and strike down every firstborn, both man and animal, both men and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. But the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you. When God saw the blood of the Passover lamb, he did not visit that home. Death did not visit that home. Now, let's fast forward to the time of Jesus. Do you remember what John said? He had introduced, he baptized Jesus, and he pointed out Jesus to a couple of his disciples, and he said this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, it all ties together. John was saying Jesus had come to be our Passover lamb. But it gets even better. When Jesus died on the cross, he was placed on the cross about 9 a.m. according to scriptures. He died about 3 p.m. At the temple, the first sacrifice was offered up at 9 a.m. The last sacrifice was offered at 3 p.m. Behold, the Lamb of God, he takes away the sin of the world. All sin. Everybody's sin. The sacrifice was complete for all mankind. You know, Jesus prayed to the Father in Matthew chapter 26, 39. "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but thy will." Let me tell you something. The cup was bitter. The humanity of Christ showed in the Garden of Gethsemane, when literally, as I said earlier, he sweat drops of blood. The pressure was on. It wasn't an easy thing. You know, we come and we sit in air. Well, it's not really that air conditioned. It's kind of warm in here. But an air conditioned building, in a padded pew, and we remember what Christ had done. But do we really remember the pain and the agony and the suffering that he experienced in the garden? Let me tell you what was going on. This morning, we'll remember that sacrifice by sharing the cup and the bread. But it needs to go deep within us, because that incident in the garden reminds us it was a cup of struggle. The flesh didn't want to go to the cross. Jesus didn't cover it up. He didn't act tough. And he said, he didn't say, "I got this." No, he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this pass from me. I don't want to go, but I'll go because I love them. And I want to follow you." Love really did hurt. Jesus told Peter, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." It was a cup of suffering. It was also a cup of sorrow. You know what Jesus also knew? He knew that he was about to be abandoned. Matthew 26, 31, "This very night you will all fall away." Jesus knew that when things got tough, he would stand alone. He knew they would run. He knew he would face death alone. He would even experience separation from the Father as on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As he bore your sin and the weight of a million sinners hung on him, the suffering was intense. So we're told as we come to this time where we remember the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the blood that stands between us and hell, to remember. How do we remember? You know, we tend to forget. Here's one of the things I thought about. I wanted you to think about what Jesus valued. What do we value today? What did Jesus value? Jesus didn't value growing old. A lot of people value growing old. Jesus didn't value getting rich. A lot of people value getting rich. Jesus didn't, you know, I've never had grandkids. People tell me, man, grandkids are the greatest thing ever. Jesus didn't value grandkids more than he valued you. He put you at the top of the list. You matter more than all these. Because he wants to spend eternity with you. That's one of the things I think about when I remember. Is it possible to forget Jesus? You know, just previous in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says there were figures there, more than four figures. Three of them are sleeping. One is in prayer. Enemies would soon grab him. Friends would run. It's so easy to get busy with life and what we think is important that we neglect that relationship with Jesus. We don't make it priority in our life. When we do that, we forget. So today as we come and we do this in remembrance of him, we're called to reevaluate our life and to make sure that we don't just go through the motions of taking the Lord's Supper. The Bible says, you know, we don't take unworthily because those who partake unworthily, some have slept. When I read that, it means some have died. We don't partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. We partake remembering. You know, we remember in earth, and one day we'll all remember in heaven, because you turn over to Revelation chapter 5, it says when we see him in heaven, the Lamb's going to still bear, he's going to still bear the marks of being slain. Revelation 5:6 says, and I beheld, and in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. You know, Jesus, for all eternity, will bear the marks of the cross and a reminder of what our sin did to him and what he did for us. And in those moments, the scripture says, we will sing out and we will cry out, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Today, may our hearts cry out, worthy is the Lamb, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sin. Until then, what is my ministry? You know, if we're called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and Jesus came, it says, now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. When Jesus left heaven, he came with a purpose. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were given a purpose. We were given a ministry. We were called to make a difference. We're called to share the gospel. Because the gospel is man's hope. And we do it in a number of ways. God's gifted every person in here differently. What we've got to do is be one thing, and that's faithful. Jesus was faithful. It wasn't easy, but he was faithful. God's call to you today is to be faithful. It may not be easy, but you got to be faithful. Following Christ. Pray with me. Lord, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, and we remember what you have done for us, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be touched, that we wouldn't just go through this service and that it be routine, but God, we remember. We remember what we were. We were lost and without hope until we met the Savior. And then, God, we remember what the future holds and the hope that we have through the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray that it would make a difference in the way that we live, in the way that we try to make the gospel known. Lord, we do this in remembrance of you today. In Jesus' name.